Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thank you, Steve. The sound of Jhené Bridges. Jhené is going to be at Ravinia on Sunday, August 19th. Know about this kind of music are very excited about Bridges coming to town. The mezzo-soprano, known for her, I'm quoting now Opera News, rich, dark, exciting sound, quickly becoming, it says here, one of the most sought-after talents of her generation. Again, at Ravinia Sunday, the 19th at 5 p.m. Tickets at ravinia.org for tickets and details. She is in our studio right now. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Chicago. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
What was that we were listening to there? Do you recognize?
I do recognize that.
I know that's a stupid question.
That was Mira o Norma, a duet from Norma.
And, Mira o Norma.
Isn't that nice the way she says that?
Very nice.
Is that Italian?
Thank you. It is Italiano. Yeah.
Does it help if you learn to speak Italian? Do you speak Italian?
I speak it a bit. It definitely helps to learn all of the languages that I sing in. And the goal is to eventually be fluent in all of them. I'm conversational.
I guess if you walked into a restaurant and you just started to sing like that in Italian, you know, if the lyrics include, I want a glass of wine and a nice salad, then
exactly.
You could
maybe
actually...
they'll give me a free meal.
Actually, that performance that we were playing there was from Chicago.
It was.
When was that?
That was when I was a young artist at the Ryan Center at the Lyric Opera. And that was, I think it was 2014.
So. Well, you are still a young singer now.
Yeah, relatively, yes.
I mean, how does this happen? Because I saw a story about you, and you were an up-and-coming basketball prodigy, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not mistaken. I played basketball for most of my life. I still do play, actually. And I was headed towards a career in basketball. And that kind of changed my senior year in high school when there was a bit of drama at school. I was in my first opera, The Chorus of Tosca, at Tacoma Opera, and we were kind of in the final championship. It wasn't the championship, but it was like the tri-district finals for a basketball tournament. And we had a rehearsal and a game on the same day, but they were different times. And my coach, you know, he agreed that I could do the rehearsal, the dress rehearsal of the opera in the afternoon, and then drive 2 hours up north with my mom. My mother drove me 2 hours up north for the game. And so when I got there, he didn't play me. And I was a captain of the team, and he benched me. And it was very dramatic. There was a write-up in the Seattle Times and everything. And that was actually the last day of my competitive basketball career. I still play for fun. But, you know, everything happens for a reason because...
Are you sure you're not just reading from an episode of Glee or
I know,
Riverdale?
It's pretty dramatic, but
like
it's real life. You can even look it up right now online.
Maybe the coach did you a favor. I mean,
I think he did.
That sounds wrong,
he definitely
but it
did.
Cemented where you, if you didn't know how you felt, you did then, didn't you?
For sure. It was a hard lesson at the time, but I'm thankful for that because who knows, I might, you know, be... I don't know where I would be, really. So,
well, you would have had a basketball scholarship. Maybe you would have had a shot at the WNBA.
Yeah, perhaps.
But I don't know what pays better, WNBA or one of the most sought-after operatic voices in the world. I actually don't know the answer to that question.
I actually don't either. That's so. But I still love to play, and I'm so thankful for that, you know, my background in basketball, because it's actually very similar.
How's that?
The discipline, for one. I mean, it takes extreme discipline to be an opera singer. Practice a lot, you know, can't go out partying all night, necessarily. I mean, you can, but you might not sing
suffer
so well
for it the next day.
Yeah.
Well, so, but obviously, while you were a talented basketball player, you obviously were a talented enough singer to be performing. It wasn't the high school production of Tosca.
No, it was Tacoma Opera.
Okay, so you've already arrived at the age of 18 or 17 or whatever you were at the time.
Yeah,
right?
I was in the chorus, and it was, you know, like I was in the chorus. So I have a musical background. I've played piano since I was 5 and sung in the church choir all my life.
So. Okay, so I have this question. Somebody who sings like that, when do you know that you can sing like that?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out. But
I mean,
no,
when you were 12, I'll bet you had this vocal ability that other kids didn't have. I can mimic that. It won't sound good. Could you do that naturally as a kid? Did it just all of a sudden come out?
Well, the big opera sound that I have now, no. I mean, your voice develops over the years for sure. But I definitely always had kind of a clarity to my voice. I remember when I was in the gospel choir at church, I could never quite belt the way everybody else did. And I mean, I could, but it hurt. You know, I just didn't have that naturally. But what I did have was kind of a more operatic classical sound. And we didn't really know how to articulate that back then. But it took, you know, my high school choir teacher to recognize that. And so I went to Manhattan School of Music from high school, and really it was my junior year there where I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do this, you know, because I started to get a lot of recognition, and my voice was really developing quickly. So.
But when somebody has that kind of strength and range, could you sing standards? Could you sing pop music as well and not do it in an operatic voice, but do it in a contemporary fashion?
Definitely.
And was that appealing to you too? Because I presume if you can do one, you must have at least some ability at the other.
Yes. Well, it definitely was. I mean, I still love to sing jazz, and I do. But pop as well. I mean, it was very appealing, but classical, you know, being on a live stage, something just really kind of grasped me that pop and jazz don't necessarily, they don't have the same effect on me.
Well, you have the theater element as well. So that if you're standing at a mic singing at a club, that's nice. But if you're on stage, you're doing two things. I presume you're singing and you're acting.
And you're acting, exactly. And you're with a live orchestra and you have a costume on. You transform into different characters. You sing in different languages. So it's a completely different ballgame. And I mean, I love singing R&B and pop and jazz. But frankly, I'm not as good at it, you know. Perhaps if I trained like I trained for opera, I would be. But yeah, I'm an opera singer who can do a bit of everything.
Yeah, no kidding. So when you do train, how does that go? Do you literally do exercises?
Yes,
and I don't vocal and other kinds?
Well, there's vocal exercise, there's mental exercise, there's physical exercise. I work out almost every day because it really is a sport. It's having been an athlete, it feels very similar because you're using your whole body as, you know, as a singer. And we have like vocal exercises. I mean, I lip trill
like
that to warm up the voice. And then I go to like, yeah, vowels, line them up. Vowels. Yeah. Because, classical singing and frankly, all singing is all about like lining up the vowels so that they're not so far apart. When you're singing, it's not like you're on the same vocal tract.
Give me an example of what you're talking about.
Okay, so maybe you can hear the difference. So if I were to sing E-A-I-O-U, this is the wrong way. E-A-I-O-U. If you listen closely, it's like they're all different sounds. I mean, it seems like they're in different places in my throat. But if I were to be on the same vocal tract and they're all to be aligned, it would be like, so my mouth barely moves.
I noticed that.
Yeah. And if you listen back to the other thing that I did, it's just
like one flows
not
into
as consistent.
The other.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, you know what I also was thinking about when you're talking about the strength of your voice, and you do have a very clear voice speaking. it's an asset, I can tell. But I have in my career at times run into issues where my throat, my voice starts to fade. There have been times where I was doing radio shows that were 5 and 6 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a long time.
it's too long. It's debilitating. And by Friday, I would start to sound like an old man. And so I go into a doctor about this. I forget what the deal was, but he just said, you know, you do not have the strength, and most people don't, to do this.
Right.
And I need it. He said, you need to think about speaking more from your abdomen and not your throat.
Your diaphragm and not your throat.
Don't use the top part of the sort of vocal chain. You need to channel down here more, and you need to talk less. And I found both of those things to be true. I presume you'd concur with that.
Yeah, I definitely concur with that. It's so true. I mean, I can't actually imagine having to speak for that long.
Yeah, that's what our listeners said, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was bad for the host and the audience. So when you're going to be at Ravinia now on Saturday, welcome back.
Sunday.
Pardon me. Let me look at my notes. Sunday, August 19th, 5 p.m.
Yes.
Go to ravinia.org for tickets for Janae Bridges, the mezzo-soprano that's in our studio. So you travel the world doing this sort of thing, right?
I do. Yeah, I'm barely home. But I love it. I where was I recently? Well, I'm on a bit of a break for this week, you can say, these past couple weeks.
But so tell me where you've been of late this year.
Okay, so my past engagement was at the Organ Bach Festival in Eugene, Oregon. And I was there for a couple of weeks world premiering a piece and singing Elijah. Before that, I was in Zurich, Switzerland. I sang La Forza del Destino, a Verdi opera. It was really wonderful to be there. And some of these engagements are really long. So I was there for 2.5 months. And before that, where was I? Oh, I sang at Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's 25th reunion on the Supreme Court, which was pretty exciting.
The 25th reunion and 5K, because she's...
Oh, my gosh.
She's strong.
She's in shape.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
She gets it done.
Oh, yeah.
So what kind of life is that like?
Wow. Well, it's a busy life, you know? I think it would be difficult for a lot of people. And, you know, it is difficult at times because you get lonely. But you find things that cure that loneliness.
Do European audiences appreciate opera more than American audiences?
That's a good question. It's a different appreciation because it's so much a part of their culture, just like, you know, jazz would be a part of ours or pop or whatever. So if I have to answer that question...
Well, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
I know you're being diplomatic, but with you being in the Midwest and all...
I'm trying not to be offensive, but... Yes, I mean, and when you go to the opera over there, you have every age group. It's really, it's amazing. And that's starting to be that way here in the U.S. as well.
I hope so. But my guess is, you're right, that it's been more part of the culture. And depending on where you are in Europe, maybe the language is more accessible to them. You know, maybe there's more Italian speakers in parts of Europe than maybe there are in the United States. So help me as a prospective Ravinia concert goer.
Yes.
What can I see? How can I best appreciate what you're going to do on stage?
Good question. Well, I think I always recommend people to do a little bit of background research.
What's the show? What's
so
the performance?
This piece that I'm doing is Jeremiah Symphony No. 1 by Bernstein, and it's the 100th centennial. It's the centennial of Bernstein. So I would do, number one, some research on Bernstein. He's such an influential composer in this. He's just so influential. So you should know who he is. Do a little bit of research on him. And then also this piece, Jeremiah, it's his first symphony. And, you know, it's such a gorgeous piece. And it's actually very, I feel like it's very accessible. You know,
it's the story of something.
Yes.
Of what?
So the prophet Jeremiah, it's the story of him, you know, warning the Israelites, you know, that they are living in sin, basically. And so the symphony is in three movements. I only sing in the last movement where the final destruction has happened. And it's just like, come on, guys, I tried to tell you. And this is where we're at.
Really?
So, yeah, it's really powerful.
Who are you then in the show?
That's a good question. So I am Jeremiah, actually.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
I thought Jeremiah would be a male role.
Well, that's the beauty of music.
But you're the voice of Jeremiah.
I am the voice of Jeremiah.
And so that's essentially...
And it's not an opera, so it's not like I have to play a man. It's, you know... You imagine. So it's really powerful.
You've been to Ravinia before.
I have. When I was a young artist at the Lyric, I performed More Bernstein, actually. Yeah, it was...
I'm not going to hold you to all of the performances you've held over the years.
Songfest is what it was called, yeah.
Jenai Bridges, the mezzo-soprano, is in our studio. She's at Ravinia Sunday, August 19th at 5 o'clock. You don't have tickets yet. Go to ravinia.org, ravinia.org for tickets and details. Did I say Jenai? It's Jenai, J-apostrophe-N-A-I, right?
Yes.
My mother's middle name is Jenai, and you and I connected on that because there aren't that many
Jenais
out
there. That's so rare, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The spellings are different. You spell it J-apostrophe-N-A-I, Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome back to Chicago.
Thank you so much.
Continued success and travels.
Thank you.
Anything else we can do for you? Do you have a recording coming out or anything else like
that?
Well,
I actually am working on a few projects. In fact, I recorded this weekend in Wheaton. There's going to be a new spirituals album released by my friend, an amazing composer, Sean Opeblo. And he is a professor at Wheaton College and an incredible composer. So look out for that. I mean, it's going to be a while because we're still... working on it and recording it, getting it down. But his arrangements are so unique and eclectic.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm working on. And I have a lot of really cool projects that I can't actually talk about yet.
Well, then you got to come back. You got to come back.
Yeah.
And visit with us again. Have a great time and performance. I wish you
Thank
a good
you
crowd
so
and good weather at Ravinia on Sunday. Thanks, Jenai.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How about that? It's 2:51. This is WGN.